Haven't talked to Tom Fortino in a while. Tom, it's good to hear you. How are you?
Good to hear you, too. I'm doing well.
Of course, we can hear you Sundays at 7 during the Alpha Wealth Hour here on WGN. Tom's the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group, and he hosts that Sunday morning show, too. What typically happens in December, Tom, on the markets? We are able to maintain, it seems, the highs we've achieved of late. Is this what normally happens?
Yeah, especially when you're coming into this month with what we've seen. The market's up. That's going to be a continuation. That's likely what we're going to see through the rest of the year. I mean, the momentum is there. I don't know, of course, no one can predict the future, but I just don't see anything right now that's going to cause this market to not continue, the direction it's going.
Really? I'm glad to hear you say
that. Or maintain, I should say.
If it plateaued, I think that would be extraordinary. And I just keep thinking something's going to happen. I mean, either the exuberance will fade and I'm not even talking about wars or other things that you can't anticipate, hurricanes. It just seems to me like this market is inflated. It evidently is not, huh?
Well, I mean, we always come back to valuations, and you hear a lot of saying, okay, what is the valuation? What's the PE on this market? And you can look at the forward PE, the price-to-earnings ratios, and say, what am I paying relative to earnings? Okay, there's a relative valuation. Now, is that a little high? Yeah, it's a little high right now. But then the next question is, can we grow into that? It's just like any asset you're going to buy, you're going to pay a premium for something that you think has much more upside going forward. Are we paying a premium right now? Maybe a little bit overall. But again, right now, just the momentum is there, and maybe it justifies that.
What other numbers are interesting to you right now? Are you looking at jobs? Are you looking at inflation? What other numbers catch your eye?
Well, certainly the jobs report, which is going to be coming out Friday, that's always a big number that we're looking at. And then, of course, you got the Fed coming up on the 17th or 16th, 17th or 17th, 18th. Are they going to reduce a quarter point? The numbers are saying there's, the likelihood is it's roughly 70%, I think, right now. So those are things that can typically be market movers. And then there's going to be some more, of course, some inflation numbers. I think to a certain extent, unless they're unbelievably bad or something unbelievable happens, the market has been ignoring a lot of these things. And as you see, and you said, John, it continues higher.
Yeah. Are you, if we get another quarter point cut, is that good, bad, indifferent? What are you rooting for there?
Well, I think it's not a bad thing to have the quarter point cut. What's interesting is, and you've seen it, it hasn't had a big impact on rates. The bond market is what it is. It may or may not react to that. It's a market. It's like the stock market. What are the buyers and the sellers? And right now, the 10-year is still around 4.2. It hasn't dipped down, but it's kind of interesting. So that's another area that's really, really interesting as far as this the bonds, what's continuing there. But it would be good. I think it's good to reduce a quarter point. I think that would be good.
Momentum notwithstanding, the markets haven't been zooming up of late. I wonder if that's in reaction to possible tariffs. What impact do you see the potential for new tariffs? What potential impact do you see those tariffs having?
Well, I mean, that's such a unknown in the sense that because there's arguments on both sides. Number one, what are they really going to be, or is this really just a bargaining chip? Number one. Number two is the argument is, well, ultimately that's going to bring more growth in manufacturing to the United States. Is that a benefit? So that's really a wild card. I don't think anybody can predict. I do believe, if the tax rate on if the corporate tax rate is reduced, we don't know from 21 to 15, if regulations are reduced and things of those of that nature happen, I think that's going to spur growth. And, so those are going to be good things, I think, for this market. And you see the market reacting. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, or not reacting. I mean, I would guess that if we did get 60% on China or 25% across the board on a host of goods that currently aren't taxed, the market would react. But what the market is telling us right now is they haven't seen that and they're not sure that's going to happen, right?
I think that's a good point, because what else I would add to that is, to your point, I think there could be potential volatility. What I mean by that is, if there's some tariffs that are announced, if something comes out, you know how the market is. It overreacts on the upside. Many times it overreacts on the downside. And you may see a response right away. Now, is that going to maintain itself? Not probably. I mean, you know, there's usually that reversion back. But there will be, I guess, couch my comments before with, we'll probably see some volatility with some of these things that may happen.
Tom talks like this and then about your personal financial situation Sunday mornings on WGN. Make sure you have your radio on. Get up with WGN and Tom. That's the Alpha Wealth Hour, Sunday mornings at 7. I'll visit with you another day. Thank you, Tom.
Sounds great.
Bree Fowler joins us often, the senior writer at CNET.com. Bree, happy holidays. How are you?
Hey, happy holidays. Doing well.
Yeah, and guess what? I've got a whole bunch of Bitcoin. Oh, wait, I don't.
It's worth quite a bit now. So, yeah, if you've got it, you're in a good shape.
Talk about the rise. Where was it and where is it?
Yeah, Bitcoin had kind of been dropping. You know, just 2 years ago, it had fallen below $17,000. It just topped $100,000. So it's been a massive rally as of late.
And that's predicated on Donald Trump's being elected president in January?
Yes. You know, a lot of the markets and things like that have gone up. But crypto has been doing very well just because, you know, he's expected to be nominating a very crypto-positive chairman of the SEC. And, you know, we're not expecting a whole lot of regulation to come out of this administration in general, which is good for crypto.
Good for crypto. I wonder how that would impact me. Like, say my big corporate bank, I have one of these banks with offices all around the country. I wonder if regulations were relaxed somehow, would my bank start to accept crypto? Would that money be insured? I'm just wondering how that will affect me, the average customer.
You know, it's really remains to be seen. I mean, banks kind of can do what they want as far as whether they accept it or not. It's still, you know, a traded commodity now. It's not like it's illegal or, you know, not out there. But, you know, maybe there will be more widespread use of it. Who knows?
Waymo is in Miami now. I had a question about this. So that's the driverless taxi service, right?
Yep.
Okay, and that's called Waymo, W-A-Y-M-O. Now, they were in Phoenix, weren't they?
Yeah, and they still are. They are in Phoenix and San Francisco, and they had recently expanded to L.A. And these are the cars you see driving around with no drivers. And, yeah, it's a little disconcerting.
Well,
you're not used to it.
You say that you see without, but I haven't seen them, and I still almost can't believe it. Like, if I go to Phoenix, Los Angeles, or Miami now, or San Francisco, is it San Francisco or L.A.? San Francisco. What do I do? Order it on my phone, and a driverless cab pulls up, and then I get in it, and then I'm on the road with everybody else? Is that what happens?
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. In Miami, they're still going to be in the testing phase, so you're just kind of going to see empty cars driving around. But I have seen these in San Francisco, and it is really weird to see passengers in the back and nobody up front.
And are the passengers freaked out?
I think they've kind of signed up for it because there's an app that you have to download and you have to have an invite, and so it's not something you can just randomly do. Because I did try to do this the last time I was in San Francisco, and I wasn't able to make it work. But I think it's really interesting and, you know, definitely shows how this is getting, you know, larger fleets, more adoption. And there really haven't been any, knock on wood, cataclysmic accidents yet.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because like Tesla has famously had some real problems with its driverless features. And I'm wondering if those same, you know, problems exist in these Waymo robo-taxis.
Yeah, and Tesla's not the only one either. There are other startups out there. You know, there's one out there with ties to General Motors where they're trying to get off the ground, but they haven't quite gotten it to this point yet. And Waymo is definitely way ahead of the competition.
Did you see the bit Jimmy Kimmel did where he had put his aunt in a driverless cab and then took her for a ride and she just freaked out. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but I'll have to look that up for sure.
One more story for you to just respond to us about Meta and AI. What is the latest there?
Yeah, they are going to be building a data center in northeast Louisiana. It's a very rural part of the state, and it's a $10 billion facility, that's going to help power their AI operations and, you know, hopefully power some jobs in that area as well.
$10 billion, and it's an artificial data center. So is that mm-hmm. just a bunch of servers then, or what is that?
It's a lot of processing. People don't realize a lot of time AI, there's a lot of horsepower that's needed to drive that. And that's what these data centers do, is they provide the processing to make all of those AI queries and tasks that you're running work. The state's also going to have to build a new power plant to actually power
wow.
that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the unheralded story about all of this. AI is great. Dude, that eats electricity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. Some people in the state are worried that this is going to actually result in higher utility costs for residents out there eventually, just because there's going to be higher demand and maybe not enough supply.
Well, wherever they go, that's going to be a problem. I mean, AI is the future, and cities, states, the country needs to figure out how to resolve this energy consumption problem we have. 773 texted in to say, we were in Scottsdale last week, and we saw the driverless taxis everywhere. Cars driving, passengers in the back, no driver. Saw seven of them in 3 days. It's crazy. And I guess it's functional, and it's working, right?
Yeah. I look forward to trying it out at some point.
I do not. That's Bree Fowler, senior writer at CNET.com. Thank you, Bree.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know that we're working our way through the winter season when we start to talk about Restaurant Week, which is not tomorrow, but is on the horizon. And there's an event coming up that always precedes it. And to tell us a little bit about that is Isaac Reichman, the Director of Corporate Communications over at Choose Chicago. Isaac, you're on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about the First Bites Bash.
Yeah, so First Bites Bash taking place on January 23rd at the Field Museum. And like you said, it's the kickoff to our 18th annual Chicago Restaurant Week. Again, it's at the Field Museum. It's an all-inclusive tasting event showcasing about 70 of Chicago's award-winning restaurants. Guests can have access to exclusive tasting portions from these restaurants at two floors in the beautiful Field Museum, where you get a sample of what these restaurants will be having on their Restaurant Week menus, as well as wine, beer, spirits, entertainment, and more. It's really an amazing event in the heart of winter, as you said.
Yeah, this is the third week in January we're talking about. Why are we talking about it now? Are the tickets for this First Bites Bash available?
They sure are. We just announced that tickets were on sale starting yesterday, and they're going fast. We already sold out all of our early bird tickets. We still have general admission available, but folks should visit choosechicago.com if they want to get tickets. This event always sells out. This year, they're going faster than they ever have before. So if people want to attend, they really need to get their tickets soon.
What does a general admission ticket get me? What do I do? What does that provide?
Yep. Yeah, so it'll again, there's about 70 restaurants participating, some of the best restaurants from all across Chicago. So everyone will have a tasting option or two to try. You will also, again, have wine, beer, spirits available for multiple hours over the course of the evening. And it's really just an awesome way to celebrate our restaurants. Enjoy some great food. You know, you're not going to probably be able to try all 70 while you're there, but you can try a lot more restaurants than you typically can try. And it's some of their best dishes that you can have all in one night.
What are some of the restaurants that are participating? I presume I'll recognize some of these places.
Yeah, absolutely. So our host chef this year is Chef Su An from Adelina in Gold Coast. It's a new restaurant, opened just a few years in the Gold Coast. Chef An is a James Beard winning chef. He is a really icon in Chicago, and we're really excited to have him host. There's Hawksmoor, Bronzeville Winery, Art Smith's Reunion, Luella's Southern Kitchen. The whole list is on our website. It's really an exciting, exciting event.
And I suppose it's a range then of cuisines, right? Like American, Italian, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Adelina is Italian. They're known for their homemade homemade pasta, but truly everything imaginable. It's a really great opportunity, right, to try so many different cuisines all in one night.
And how many folks will you all be able to host? This gala sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. We have, I believe there's a little under 1,000 total tickets available. Again, they're selling out really quickly. And it's in the main atrium there at the Field Museum. So you get to be in that exciting environment as well, seeing some exhibits after hours. It also goes up onto the second floor as well.
And I'd imagine then the room is, I'm walking around with a little plate and a wristband maybe or something like that. And do I sit down? Do I stand up? How do we consume the food?
Yeah, it's mostly standing up because it gets pretty crowded there. But there are tables if you'd like to sit down as well. It's really a social event. It's one of the only events that we at Choose Chicago put on over the course of the year that are open to the public, and that we're excited to. It's really about, you know, locals less so than visitors, which is what we typically focus on. Mm-hmm. And it's really about mingling, socializing, going with your friends or family to have a really fun evening. Walking, meeting chefs, learning new restaurants, exploring all the incredible cuisine in Chicago.
What's the recommended attire?
It's a business, but it's really all ranges. You know, there's some people that look a little more on the fancy side, some people a little more in the casual side, but we do recommend something within the range of business.
So what's the cost? Are there different flights or what? How does that work?
Yeah, so general admission is $150. We also have a few VIP tickets available left that let you in 30 minutes early for some exclusive tastings and also give you other kind of exclusive food options that aren't available to everybody. Those VIP tickets are $200. We only have a few of them left, though.
What about the spirits? Are those included or am I buying the drinks separate?
Those are included.
And then can you talk a little bit about that? Are they craft beers from Chicago? What kind of spirits do you have?
Yeah, let me see. We have a whole wide range of spirits. We have, some local bars and other kind of places that will have them. We have craft beer from Chicago. We also have a lot of different wine. We have tequila, mezcal, sake is always a very popular there. We have a variety of different whiskeys. You can see the full list of, and we also obviously have non-alcoholic drinks as well. You can see the full list on our website at choosechicago.com.
Choosechicago.com, choosechicago.com. This is going to be over at the Field January 23rd. And then Restaurant Week comes in February, right?
Yeah, so Restaurant Week actually kicks off the day after First Bites Bath, but it does run through February. So it's January 24th through February 9th. We're going to be announcing the full list of participating restaurants next Wednesday. That's when reservations will become available.
Isaac Reichman is the Director of Corporate Communications over at Choose Chicago. It sounds terrific. Isaac, thanks for telling us about it.
Yeah, thanks again for having me.
ChooseChicago.com. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, let's get you more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The company that acquired Chicago-based Argo T has filed for bankruptcy. Planting Hope has asked the bankruptcy court to liquidate its assets. Cranes reports the company has liabilities between $10 million and $50 million, with assets below $50,000. The filing comes just 16 months after Planting Hope acquired Argo Tea. At the time, the company talked about breathing new life into the brand. At one point, Argo Tea had 50 cafes. Planting Hope focuses on sustainable and natural foods. A Chicago-based cannabis operator is closing down a grow operation in Michigan after workers there unionized. PharmaCann is closing its facility in Warren, Michigan, and will lay off about 170 workers. A Teamsters representative says the grow operation had just organized. He doesn't think the closure was connected to unionization efforts. The company told the union it can't be competitive in Michigan. The union didn't even have a contract yet. The union says it will work with PharmaCann to get employees a severance package. A competitor also shut down after marijuana prices dropped 21% year to date. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now we've got your business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And there was a time, long time ago, when Chicagoans would get their Christmas trees by going to the river.
The Christmas tree ships, the schooners, would tie up at the Clark Street dock. They sold trees directly from the dock, and you know, it was quite a spectacle, the arrival of the Christmas ships here in Chicago.
Yeah, that ended when cheaper and faster ways to get trees here came along. But the tradition of a Christmas tree ship docking in Chicago was revived, and the 2024 shipload of trees is being welcomed tomorrow. More about that after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. And maybe put a tree in your Silverado, too. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. George Kissel is on the phone.
I'm the chairman of the Chicago's Christmas Ship Committee.
And this is a big year for the committee.
It is. This is our 25th anniversary.
It's all about charity and also honoring those sailors from way back when.
At the end of the season, the lumbermen who ran lumber back and forth from the northern regions of Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula here to Chicago for processing, the last load of their year would end up being Christmas trees. And, you know, they were very generous handing out trees to those less fortunate. So this is kind of a continuation of that. What we do is we coordinate a whole host of partners to help us bring those trees down from northern Michigan and distribute them to community organizations throughout the city of Chicago. We've given away over 30,000 trees over these past 25 years.
And tomorrow at Navy Pier, the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac shows up with a load of trees.
Everyone come out for the ship's arrival. That should be happening somewhere between 9:30 and 10 o'clock in the morning at the Polk Brothers stage. And then on Saturday morning, in the same location, we'll be doing our tree ceremony, which will involve a blessing of a wreath in memory of all of the sailors who've been lost at sea, and speeches by dignitaries, performances by the United States Coast Guard Cadet Glee Club members and Hubbard High School's choir.
It's all happening at Navy Pier. On the food calendar, it's National Soccer Tort Day. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Zacha Tort.
Okay, well, it's celebrating the chocolatey dessert that was created in Vienna in the 1800s.
Zacha Tort.
Yep, got it. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
I want to schedule some bacon. Who doesn't like bacon? Charlie Zizerl joins us now. He's Charlie the Bacon Guy, a business in Woodridge that we're figuring out here. Hey, Charlie, how are you? You're on WGN.
Hey, John, thanks for having me.
Tell me about your business. How long have you been doing this?
Well, it started as a pandemic project to provide my little family with some delicious bacon, and it turned into a full-fledged side gig here, and started posting it on social media. Some friends asked if they could have it, and then from there they asked if they could pay for it. So I thought, here we go, we might as well try this thing.
This thing is a sort of gourmet bacon business. Is it cooked bacon or raw bacon that I then cook up myself?
Yeah, so I cure it with some salt and brown sugar, and then I flavor it with whatever the flavor is going to be that time. Then I smoke it to an internal temperature of 140 degrees, which is the pork temperature that you need to hit. So you could eat it right out of the package. I would recommend frying it in a pan or in the oven. But other than that, it's a homemade product with no nitrates or nitrites, none of that stuff that you can't pronounce that you're going to get in the store,
right,
on the
right
shelves and anything like that. So, all natural.
Is it then soft, or is it kind of like brittle, like cooked bacon?
It's soft, and as you fry it up, it'll get a little bit more crispier, and then you can cook it however you like it. I do it in the oven. On a right cookie sheet with some parchment paper at 400 degrees for about 16 to 19 minutes.
So this evolved during the pandemic. Maybe it sounded like something you all wanted to eat and do rather than as a side hustle, but it's become that. Is it a full-fledged business now? Talk about, give me some numbers. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty great. I'm increasing sales every month over the year. And it's become, a small celebrity in the food scene in the southwest suburbs and a little bit in the city.
Yeah. So how are people buying it? Is it online? Do you have a storefront?
Yes, I have a online shop. It's charliethebaconguy.com. I do not have a storefront currently. But yeah, if you go to the website, everything that's available will be on there. And then I also have something called the Bacon Vault, which is flavors that are not produced right now. But if you order them, give me about 10 to 14 days and I can get them ready for you. So if you wanted Christmas bacon, you know, get on it right about now is the safest time to do that.
Yeah, boy, that does sound good. Like on the holidays, maybe Christmas morning, you get the pancakes going with your favorite syrup and then a nice thick slab of bacon. But in this case, maybe one that is apple smoked bacon or raspberry chipotle bacon or maple pepper bacon. These are some of your flavors, right?
Yeah, those are some of the favorite ones. There's also a chorizo bacon that's fairly popular and a French toast flavored bacon that tops the charts there too.
How do you flavor a slab of bacon to smell or taste like French toast?
It's basically just a dry rub. So any kind of sugar and seasonings that would go into your French toast batter or sugar on top of your French toast before you bake it is basically the rub.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued by this. I want some of this. So is it like do I buy by the pound or by the strip? How's that go?
Each pack is 12 to 13 ounces. And I won't short you on that. I'm not big enough to short anybody. But each pack is 12 to 13 ounces, and each pack is between $12 and $14, depending on which flavor you're going with. There are a couple of more involved marinades and recipes for, like the Korean barbecue takes a couple extra days to marinate and get that full flavor effect into it.
Well, talking to Charlie, the bacon guy, this is out of Woodbridge, and he said a small celebrity on the food scene in Chicago, but I would imagine there's a national audience for this. CharlieTheBaconGuy.com, Charlie with an IE at the end, CharlieTheBaconGuy.com. Are you getting orders from just the area, or are they coming from everywhere?
There's a few that are coming from, you know, local Midwest areas. I just had an order get sent to North Carolina. I have shipped more in the past. I'm working on a couple of better rates for myself and for my customers, so we're getting there. Shortly, but if you do want to ship it, I'm happy to help make that available for you.
Yeah, right. What did you say about if I just drove to Woodridge? Could I buy it out the door somewhere?
You could absolutely do that. You'd prefer to do it online so that I'm ready for it. But I would absolutely love you to come to Woodridge, and I have a bacon pickup cooler outside my house. So if I'm not around or if anybody's not around. You say, hey, Charlie, I'm coming at 2 o'clock on Wednesday or what have you, and I'll have it out there in the cooler ready for you. All you have to do is come to the house and grab it and go.
One of our listeners just said, hey, it's sweet. You've got Charlie the Bacon Guy on. I love his stuff. So your stuff also includes jams too, right?
Yeah, it's a bacon jam. It's a spread, more of a jam, but, you know, it does the work, and I still haven't found a bad use for it yet.
I just have a half a minute left, but this isn't your trade by training, right? You haven't been a restaurateur your whole life, have you?
For the past 15 years, I've been working in restaurants. I went to school at Kendall, and then I've been working in various restaurants in the city for the past 15 years.
Got it. Sounds like you've found a nice lane here. Okay, CharlieTheBaconGuy.com. I could get it by Christmas, correct?
Yeah, if you order it today or probably by the mid next week would be safest to get it before Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you and your family and whoever else is working with you over there. Sounds like a delicious idea. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, CharlieTheBaconGuy.com.